He's doing well, recovering quite nicely, actually. And he told me yesterday he's planning on being there for the 11 o'clock hour, so he'll probably get a scene today. So appreciate the prayers for him, and ask continued prayers for his recovery, but he is doing well. Wanted to let everybody know that. But before we begin into our class this morning, if you would bow with me, we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin our study. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you at this time. We're so thankful for this Lord's Day, another day of life, and another opportunity that we have to gather here with fellow Christians and to worship you, to study a portion of your word as we are doing now. We pray that you would give us an open heart and an open mind, that you would give us wisdom as we look to your word for how you would have us to live, that we would make the proper applications of those things to our everyday lives. We might be better servants of yours, that we would be better examples to those around us, and that we would seek to spread the borders of your kingdom. We're so thankful for this avenue of prayer that you've given us, and we are so thankful for the answers to those prayers, for those that have been sick and have recovered and had surgeries and are recovering well. We pray continued prayers for them. Those that are out now, the Galbraiths, be with the Sister Davis, as she's at home not feeling well, and others. We ask that you would comfort those that have lost loved ones in recent weeks, that you would be with the Godfrey family, the Parker family, also be with the Holt family as well, and comfort them as only you can. We are so thankful for the hope that we have as Christians from the sacrifice of your Son and Him coming to this earth to live a perfect life and then die on the cross for our sins. We ask that you would forgive us of those sins as we repent of them and be with us throughout this morning. And we ask all these things through your Son's name. Amen. All right, so again, in Matthew chapter 13 and in verse 33, I'll read it. It's one of the shorter ones again. We got a few short ones here in a row, the parables. But another parable He spoke to them: the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. So this parable, similar to the one that we looked at last week of the mustard seed, is very much a parable of encouragement. We mentioned that last week, how the parable of the wheat and tares, the parable of the sower, you know, all parables have parts of encouragement to them, but there are some that have some difficult parts to it that can be discouraging at times. When we're talking about judgment, we understand that not all will obey the gospel, not all will accept it. We'll talk a little bit about that today in this lesson, kind of, you know, as a side point to some of the things we're going to make about the parable itself. But this parable is very much an encouragement about the growth of the kingdom, similar to the mustard seed. Started off as a very small seed and grows into a large plant that has much impact and much growth throughout its time. And so as we get into this, there are many people much more qualified than me. I'm sure there's some bakers in here. I know my wife got into sourdough this previous year a little bit, and so she could tell you a lot more than me as well. But what is leaven, first of all? What is leaven and how does it work? We want to take that one. Go ahead, Laura. All right. So used in dough, it's fermented. It's used to make the bread rise. You know, the gas releases and expands the dough before you cook it. It turns it from the crackers we take part of, you know, we eat, to the loaves of bread that we have. And so again, very very simple idea there. Again, a small portion of leaven goes a long way. That's an important point to make when we're talking about the applications and the meaning of this lesson as well. Again, similarity there to the humble beginnings and the very small nature of the mustard seed and what it grows into, you know, as the kingdom we talked last week. It started very small, started very local when we talked about the day of Pentecost and those the church being established those first few weeks, the 3 and then the 5,000 that were added, and it has grown into what we call the the universal church, if you will, and all those past and present that are members of it, and the growth of the kingdom. The one thing to talk about at first, though, and he mentions, and again, I'm going off the outline, the more detailed outline here that some of y'all have some, may have had access to from Mark Copeland, which is what these lessons are based off of. But typically, when we think of leaven, is it a negative or a positive? I think typically, as far as Scripture is concerned, we think of it as a negative thing. Justin mentioned it in 1 Corinthians. We'll talk about that in a second as well. But we talk about the negative impact that leaven can have. If you want to turn with me a couple pages over to Matthew chapter 16, we're just going to look at a few examples of this. Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 5. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?" Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And so, in this instance, leaven is a negative thing, and it's represented by the false teachings and the false doctrines of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And he was telling his disciples, beware of this. You need to be aware. You need to be warned about this. And again, talking about the nature of leaven and how it spreads, that's certainly something that Christ did not want to happen. He did not want these doctrines to spread to his disciples. Yes, Justin.
I think a good way of looking at it is that the leaven is neither good nor bad in either of the scenarios as far as the base concept of leaven. Because it's the same thing in both. It's influence.
Right.
And so he's saying in the parable, what's the influence of the church? That's what the kingdom of God is like. Is you put this just germ of the kingdom of God in a place, like Corinth, for instance, and it will spread. But you also have this germ of the idea of what the Pharisees are saying. What's going to happen if you put that in a place? It's going to spread. And so the particular organism that we use for our leavening is yeast. You can use other organisms to leaven, but a lot of them will kill you. So those aren't good to use. And so the idea there is, beware the influence of the Pharisees because of who the Pharisees are. Treasure the influence of the good people because of who they are. But there's nothing you're going to do to stop the influence, whatever it is, from spreading.
Right.
Unless, and we get to this later in the lesson, unless you go and you either cut it out, if you got time, or if you don't have time,
yeah, that influence is the key idea here. And again, it can be a good influence, it can be a bad influence. So we need to be careful not to be arrogant in our thought that we can not let that influence impact us. And I think that's one of the major points he's making in 1 Corinthians 5 that Justin alluded to a little bit in his lesson in the first hour. But in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we won't read through that whole passage, but he says, "You're puffed up. You're puffed up, have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you." And it was that person, that brother in sexual immorality. And I think part of that arrogance there in the context of that passage is thinking, well, you know, it's not going to impact us. We can accept this brother that's in sin. We can have fellowship with this brother that's in sin, and we're strong enough, we're faithful enough, we're righteous enough, but it's not going to impact us. And again, we see the foolishness there. That's certainly man's wisdom that is taking place there, which is why he says to purge it out in verse 7. Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. We understand the impact of sin, the influencing nature of sin, and the negative impact that can have on a group and on a congregation, which is why we're told to get rid of it, to cut it out. Like Justin just said, we can cut it out sooner or later. You know, if we cut it out later, then it's going to call, you know, the longer it goes along, the more and more problems that are going to persist, the more and more division and difficulties that are going to come up in a congregation. And so we need to get rid of that negative influence. Again, speaking of the congregational sense in 1 Corinthians, but also from a personal sense, one-on-one within our lives. You know, evil company corrupts good habits. We talked in our men's study last week in Proverbs, we were talking about the wisdom of choosing friends and who we surround ourselves with. Of course, if we surround ourselves with those evil influences, we are going to be impacted by it. So again, you know, I don't want to go too far into that. We understand that, again, leaven, it's an influence. It can be good influence. It can be bad influence. And so in this particular passage, it's good influence. Okay. In this parable, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven and the influence that it has, and the spreading that it has. And so again, it's important when we look at these passages to understand the context. Again, we kind of think about leaven as being a negative thing, in passages that we just read, and you know, a negative influence, but we can't just automatically apply that here because there's nothing in context that suggests this is negative, which I just answered number three for you. You know, also it's close proximity to the mustard seed. We see it's just kind of a continuation of that thought about the nature of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, as we've talked about, is spiritual. It's not physical. It is something that, you know, by definition cannot be bad. It's not characteristically bad. Now, there are members within the kingdom that might sin from time to time. We're talking about the body and the church. But again, the way it works, once we sin, then we're cut off. We're not in fellowship with Christ. We're not in fellowship with God. And so in that sense, that sin cannot, it doesn't turn the kingdom into something bad or give it that bad characteristic. It can cause problems in the church, but as far as the spiritual kingdom itself, and again, I don't want to get too much into the mincing of words there or you know, semantics of it. I think y'all understand what I'm talking about, but the context here in this passage with this parable is that the influence of the kingdom is good. And it's a positive thing as opposed to those other passages we just talked about. Any comments about that before we move on to the next point? All right, so in what way, question number four says, in what way is the kingdom of heaven like leaven in bringing about growth? Can we mention this a little bit? How would you answer that question? In what way is the kingdom of heaven like leaven in bringing about growth? Audrey? Yeah. And as we look at it, you know, again, it was just, she had three measures of meal till it was all leaven. It doesn't take a lot. It takes a little bit. And when you put that little bit of yeast, that little bit of leaven into the dough, it spreads completely and it spreads entirely throughout. And so the kingdom of heaven is this way in that it spreads completely and thoroughly. It's pervasive. It spreads widely. And, you know, to go kind of getting into question five there, as we continue down this road of thought, what does it mean regarding the loaf? How does it impact the loaf? Well, again, the entire loaf is affected by it. So what are we talking about? What does the loaf represent in this passage? So I think that's important to answer here as we go on.
I think in the parable, it's talking about the world. We could look at it on a more micro level, though, as we are in a town or a community or we meet someone new or something like that.
Right, yeah, and this is one of those parables where he doesn't explain specifically that the loaf represents, you know, X. And so, you know, we've got to, again, have some context there and a little bit of speculation, but I think you're right. It's talking about the world, and that can be, you know, the world as a whole. We can talk about the impact of it on our local town, local community. You know, I would be okay even with the, you know, talking about as small as, you know, from a congregational sense, although I think the idea is much wider than that. But this influence of the kingdom is far reaching. It will, you know, influence everybody. And I think that we see that as we look around today. I think we, you know, have a tendency to maybe minimize the impact of the kingdom in this world as the world has grown. You know, we've got, 8 billion people on the planet today. And I think that as we look at our world today, and we've talked about this from time to time, it's becoming more and more, antagonistic towards God, more and more anti-religious. There are more and more people today that don't believe in God and have really no part in religion at all, much less the religion and the faith talked about in the New Testament. And so we can kind of have that feeling of, you know, we're not having as much of an impact as we used to, but the, you know, as we look into the scriptures and we look throughout history and time, we see the influence of the kingdom and how pervasive it is. I do want to turn to a few passages there. Romans chapter 10 is the first one. Romans chapter 10. These passages talk a little bit about that influence and how widespread it is. But in Romans chapter 10 and verses 17 and 18, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and the words of the words to the end of the world. And then a few pages over in Romans chapter 16, and in verse 25 and 26. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. And so as we look at these passages, we understand the far-reaching nature of the kingdom, and the way that has reached everybody, you know, the way that has impacted so much and it's become so pervasive is through God's Word, through the teaching of the Word. And I think we can see that today. And that's one thing that I think is easier to see today as we get, you know, the technology that we have. I mean, right now we're live streaming, and I don't know who's all watching it right now. A lot of times alive in a whole lot, but as we get those videos on our YouTube page, there are people all across the globe that watch those and that listen to those sermons and listen to the classes and the things that we put out there, which is why we do it. And so that's just from one, you know, small congregation in Fort Worth, Texas. And so when you think about all the congregations in the world and all the things that are being put out there, it's easy to see the far-reaching nature of the kingdom and of the church. And again, it's from that word that is spread throughout. And that's certainly an encouragement, and certainly something to be aware of and to look to. And again, we'll talk about it a little later, you know, what's our part in that? You know, individually, what's our part in spreading that good influence and being that good influence? Any questions, comments about that point that we make? All right. So as we get into that, we talk about the far-reaching nature of the lesson, or the kingdom in the lesson. It's important to understand we're not, that doesn't mean, well, I just want to make sure I don't step on y'all's toes and answer a question that gave you. Question six, yeah, there it is right there. So while it produces growth, does that mean that all will obey? We talk about the far-reaching nature of it, but are we just talking about those that obey the word? Does it reach those who don't obey the word as well? Does it affect those who don't obey the word in some ways? I think it does. And as we get into that, you know, he asked the question, does that mean all that will obey? Well, the word reaches a lot of people that don't obey it. We talked about in the parable of the sower, of course, the four different soils. And some believed, and yet they were choked out by the cares of the world and the problems with the world, and then some didn't even accept it in the first place, and then of course you had the good soil. So you've got all those different groups of people and different hearts out there. But I think it does, it is a part of this, the teaching of this passage, the impact and the far-reaching nature of the kingdom. It impacts you differently depending on whether you accept the word of God or not. Let's go ahead, Audrey. Cause problems for him, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they weren't doing it for the right reasons. But Christ is being preached both ways. And that can only be good.
Yeah, and Paul rejoiced in that. And you're right, when we are talking to people about the gospel, and when we are being that example, you know, you mentioned speaking to someone about it. Sometimes it's not even that. It's just them knowing what you stand for and seeing the example that you set, and years down the line, maybe when the aha moment, if you will, and they finally, hey, I need to look into this more, and I remember that person and how they acted. I remember those things that they talked about. And so that impact that we have, and of course we are members of the kingdom, and so the impact that we have, it can be much further reaching than even we know from our own experiences at any particular time. And so that's certainly something to look at, and certainly something that's an encouragement as we seek to do God's word, and something to think about when we, you know, we're told not to grow weary doing good. Again, sometimes we feel like, you know, this exercise of futility, if you will, because of how many in the world are against God and against His kingdom, and we're struggling to reach those in the world and convert them to Christ and talk to them about spiritual things. But if we think about all those things that we've been talking about, we might not see the fruit immediately. It may happen years down the road, and we may not even be aware of that. That's something to be encouraged by and to think about. In 2 Corinthians, if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and in verse 14 there, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place." And so again, there's that idea of the word of God being spread in every place. It's described as the fragrance of His knowledge. And so again, that idea of a diffuser and smelling it, I don't like smelly things, you know. I'm like my dad. I got allergies. But you walk into a room and you can just smell it. It permeates everything, right? If you've got a candle lit or a diffuser going with some stuff in it. And so, you know, the Word of God, it's gone everywhere. And I think one of the evidences of that is how many, you know, it's kind of a sign of the negative too, because man tries to read into it what they want and tries to change it and kind of adapt God's Word. But we've got so many different versions of Christianity out there, right? And that right there is an example of how that, you know, God's Word's gone throughout. Not everybody's accepted it like they should and had an open heart like they should, but is there. Last time I checked, the Bible's still the number one selling book in the history of the world, and I don't think it's going to get caught anytime soon by any other book. And so that's something, again, it's out there. But then he says in verse 16 to continue, or 15, For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So he's contrasting two groups here. Those that are being saved, those that are perishing. They've all smelt it. They've all smelt the fragrance. They've all been around it or exposed to it. But to one, in verse 16, we are the aroma of death, leading to death. And to the other, the aroma of life, leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? And so, again, in this passage, we talk, you know, the question says, does the leaven of the kingdom influence those to whom it appears as the aroma of death? Well, yeah, it's influences them to them in a negative way because their, you know, unwillingness to accept it. We talk about the Word of God and how the Word of God reveals the hearts of men, and it reveals whether they're honest hearts or if their hearts are hard. It reveals whether they are going to be accepting of the gospel or whether they're going to reject it. But regardless of which one they choose, I think it can be said that it has an impact. And I think that's how, as we look back to our parable here about the leaven and it being, you know, the influence and the far-reaching nature of it, the woman took and hid three measures of meal till it was all leaven. And the kingdom of heaven is like that. It is, you know, it reaches everybody and it impacts everybody. It's just the whether or not you're going to accept it or not is how it influences you. Do you have something, Naomi? Sometimes it takes, when I teach in history to my students, you know, we have a lot of minor details, right? They got to remember. And they talk about, well, history is just learning facts. And they have trouble sometimes because they're trying to memorize all these facts. And like, well, you're going about it the wrong way. It's kind of like a pyramid, right? You gotta get the foundation, understand some of the basics, whether it's a certain time period or a certain specific event that you're studying. What's the basics? What's the foundations of it? And then you build on that. And if you've got those foundations, it's a lot easier to remember the specifics at the top of the pyramid. And so sometimes, again, we all learn in different ways. Sometimes you got to break down those barriers. You're right. And go through different levels of that to teach people the gospel before they come to an understanding of it and are accepting of it. But if they have an honest heart, they will eventually. We've got to continue to be patient with them and continue to teach them. But it does reveal the hearts of men. You know, when we were talking about this, the thought that comes to my mind or the example that comes to my mind of an impact, but in the sense an aroma of death, look at the Old Testament with Pharaoh. And so, you know, when the word of the Lord came to him to release the Israelites from captivity through Moses, and he wouldn't accept it. He rejected it, Didn't accept it, but I think you can certainly say it had an impact on him. It hardened his heart. It was, you know, it led to eventually the death of the entire Egyptian army and the Red Sea when that judgment came. So yeah, it was impactful to him, even though he rejected it. And we also see the growth of the, you know, the purpose of God in those circumstances as well. So, you know, God used that to show his power. And so again, it all, the influence of that kingdom is just everywhere. And it's used in different ways by God, but his will be done. And the ones that don't accept it, to where it's an aroma of death, he uses that too at times to further his kingdom and show his power. But to those, again, of course, we understand the positive influence or the positive nature of the influence of the kingdom to those who obey, which is the hope of heaven and the blessings that we have through Christ and all those things that we are thankful for and talk about time and time again. Another point that he makes that's interesting too is he mentions the influence of the word on our society as a whole. So especially, you know, in America, we talk about separation of church and state, right? And, you know, that's a political issue that comes up from time to time, comes up quite often. But if you look back throughout history, we see the influence of Christianity. And again, sometimes it's misapplied. Sometimes it's an influence for good. Sometimes it's, you know, maybe more negative in some ways because it's a twisting of the word. But we see it throughout. I mean, you look at our money, right? And God We Trust is on there, and we talk about it. It was added to the Pledge of Allegiance, I think, in the 50s, I think, is when they did that, One Nation Under God. And so, again, you see that throughout. We see Christianity's impact. We're not a Christian nation in the sense of an established religion because of we've got the freedom of religion, our First Amendment rights. But throughout the history of our nation, the majority of those that are religious are Christians. And that influence is out there. Even though, again, Christianity, there's many different forms, but we see that influence of the kingdom throughout the world. Alright, so now as we get into the next section, we got about 8 minutes left, so I think that's gonna be timing it about right. But he talks about the growth of the kingdom. And so what did Jesus say? And let's go ahead and read Luke 17. Question says, what did he say to the Pharisees in Luke 17? But there in verse 20 and 20 through 21, when he had was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here, see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. So how do you explain that? You know, we've talked, how can something be so pervasive and be so complete in its influence and far-reaching, but not be something that's seen? How would you answer that question?
Well, the disciples of Christ make up the kingdom, the church. And the more that come to Christ, the more they will speak the word, and the more that influence grows. Just like we talked about, you can go further than you realize without you even being present.
Right. And, you know, as we look back to the New Testament, why did they reject Christ, the Jews? What were they looking for?
Physical.
Yeah, they were looking for a physical, visible kingdom. A king to reign on a throne on earth to reestablish the Jewish nation. They just had this wrong idea of what Christ, what was meant in the prophecies in the Old Testament. And so I think the big contrast here is to that. This isn't going to be this physical kingdom that you're going to see a temple and a king and sitting on a throne. on this earth. This is something that is spiritual. I don't think it means that, you know, you can't see any of the effects of the kingdom, because you're right. You know, we see the effects of the kingdom every day. In fact, we've talked about that a lot as we've gone throughout this. But as far as the growth of it, it's not, you know, adding nation to nation. You think about throughout history and the many conquerors and the imperialism that's done and the adding of countries and nations and territories and things like that. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about, you know, the growth of the kingdom comes from the adding of souls, right? And the more souls that are added to the kingdom, the more effect the kingdom has. And that's how we impact the world. You know, I think about this. We've talked about this from time to time, but the you know, politics and how polarizing politics has come. And we mentioned, I think, you know, more and more Christians should be apolitical. And it's easy to get drawn into it sometimes. I do. I'm guilty of that myself. But as the world goes further and further away from God, we need to, you know, get further and further away from the world and some of those things. And there are a lot of people that spend, a lot of Christians that spend a lot of their life trying to impact the world through politics, through running for office and school board and mayor and, you know, even some up to the highest level of government in our national level. And again, there's nothing in and of itself wrong with that, but our priority should be, again, spreading the gospel. The way we're going to impact the world is not by getting some law passed or legislation or working in the, you know, the legislative branch or the political spectrum. The way that we're going to influence the world is by being that light, and through spiritual things and spreading the gospel and, you know, really trying to do our part to make sure that the kingdom, is spread as far and has the impact as far and wide as possible, as this parable talks about. Yes, Justin.
The point they're making there is that it's influence, it's not a revolution. So, you think about it like you see your niece or your nephew that you've not seen in a while, and you're like, oh my goodness, she's twice as big as the last time I saw her, right? And that kind of thing is not as obvious to their parents who see them every single day. When you look at a nation that is losing the influence of the kingdom in it, and you look at that nation 40 years later, and there's nothing you can point to and say, see here, see there, the kingdom of God. But you look at that and you're like, wow, what happened? What was that degradation? Or vice versa, if the kingdom of God is growing in an area, it may not be that obvious as you're in it. There may not be anything to point at. But you look at it 40 years later, wow, look at how different things are now than they were then. That's the influence of God and God's people in America.
Yeah, that's a good point to make. If you're having trouble seeing the improvement, the impact, just kind of, you know, take a step back and look at that bigger picture a little bit. Because you're right, the day to day can sometimes be burdensome or
this is a little bit. What you're saying about politics, right?
Right.
Like there's not a moment that you go, oh, the nation became conservative right there, or the nation became liberal right there, or statist, or whatever political thing you want to talk about. But you look at it over the span of 20, 30, 40, 100 years,
right,
and you're like, wow, look at how different even the sensibilities are now than they were then.
Right. And so to finish up, we just got a couple minutes left. A passage I'll leave y'all with is Matthew chapter 5. He asked in question 9, how can you be a leavening influence towards others? Again, it's through our example. Matthew 5, 13 through 16, passage we're all familiar with. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is good then for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So, again, just as we've talked about, the way that we help to spread, it's about influence, the leaven, the influencing nature of the kingdom of heaven, and how do we do our part to do that? Will we be examples to others? We follow Christ, we teach those that we come in contact with and seek out those opportunities to influence the world for good. and again, through Christ, not to get caught up in the secular things and influence them that way, but influencing them through spiritual things, because again, it's a spiritual kingdom, and we as members of that kingdom have that responsibility to spread its influence as far and wide as possible. Appreciate the comments. Next week, we will be on Matthew 13, verse 44, the parable of the hidden treasure. Parable of the hidden treasure. So be ready for that.